we've been going on this Russia-Trump hoax for the better part of a year now with no evidence of anything. Things like the success at the VA barely get covered, but this story gets covered day in, day out. And I think America is frankly looking for something better. They're looking for something more. And I think they deserve something better from our news media.
I love it. People were trashing Sarah Huckabee yesterday in the mainstream media. I think she came out, looked right at him. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And she has that southern drawl, that kind of slow delivery. And not an easy job. Not an easy job to go out there. And I thought she did a great job. I'm sorry. These people are so used to having their way. They want very little accountability. By the way, there's a lot of moans about those three CNN reporters forced out at CNN. The vaunted Eric Lichtblau, Thomas Frank, and Len Harris, all out. But a lot of their pals think it's unfair. They don't want any accountability. It's unfair that they're out. There are a lot of different decision makers who were responsible for that the story about Anthony Scaramucci coming out. And by the way, Scaramucci might sue him after all. Good. Joining us now, Glenn Greenwald, co-founding editor of The Intercept, author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, constitutional lawyer, journalist, and we love having him on. Glenn, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Hey, Laura, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So I've got to say, just as a matter of sport, to see these reporters yesterday in the White House briefing room, stamping their feet. They're all upset because they don't get the number of briefings they want. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the way you actually do real reporting is not by camping out at the White House. You obviously know this because you kind of wrote the book on this, but you actually have to do investigations. You can't just sit there and think you're going to be a YouTube star because you ask a gotcha question to, you know, poor old Sean Spicer or Sarah Huckabee. I mean, so they're all upset yesterday. It was grandstanding, and Huckabee says, "Well, you guys are obsessed with Russia. There's no underlying evidence." Like, what's your take on this? I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it, just because it's a bit of a table turn here. But what was your sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, naturally supposed to be some tension between the press corps and the White House. I mean, that's kind of the idea of a free press, is they're supposed to hold people in power accountable.
Fine, good.
People in power tend not to like it.
Yep.
You know, I wish there had been a lot of this during the last 8 years, in sort of the love fest that we saw between the White House and the press corps. This is actually how it's supposed to work. So, of course, part of why they're so upset is because they get deprived of TV time. But, you know, I think journalists should be demanding as much accountability and accessibility as possible to the White House. But you're right, that's not the way real reporting gets done. Of course, they're going to get stonewalled. They need to get out there and do real reporting, and the more kind of stories that they do that end up discredited, like this latest CNN story, which is one of a long line of discredited stories about Russia and Trump, the more leverage politicians like Donald Trump have to discredit the media, and the public turns against the journalists and doesn't care about their complaints, and I think they have no one but themselves to blame.
Well, I said this on Fox last night, that I actually, you know, I've known a lot of the folks at CNN for a long time, and I have respect for a number of the CNN reporters, and I'm not someone who's, you know, beat the press, against the press. I think absolutely politicians should be held accountable. I do think that we obviously have a problem with a press that is overwhelmingly left-leaning, and you can be a left-leaning reporter and still be a fair reporter, absolutely. But I do believe it looks like a lot of this stuff is agenda-driven. And a lot of this stuff is kind of the get Trump mentality, regardless of whether there was ever an underlying crime in Russia and any underlying crime to obstruct or investigation to obstruct into a real crime. And it's like all those facts in the real understanding go by the wayside, Glenn, and suddenly it becomes just this Pavlovian response on Russia. And then you have these award-winning journalists who just, for some reason, just fall right into line, and they're now gone.
It's really amazing to watch. I mean, I'm definitely somebody who believes that journalists don't have to pretend to be objective, right? We're not computers. We do have perspectives and opinions. I think it's better for our readers and our viewers and our listeners when we're honest about the things we think, but it has to be rooted and anchored in factual accuracy and journalistic responsibility. And I think you're right that the press corps is consumed with hatred for Trump. I tend to think it's less ideological and more just about his kind of outsider status, the fact that even the people they listen to in the intelligence community in the deep state hate Trump too. But they're particularly kind of just unhinged when it comes to this whole Russia issue. I mean, even if you want to believe that Russia did the hacking, for which we still haven't seen evidence from the government, but let's say for the sake of argument that they did it, it's not a very extraordinary thing. We interfere in the elections of other countries constantly. And the real reason this became a big political issue is because Democrats in Congress and MSNBC viewers thought this was going to be the thing that took Trump down, that they were going to prove that he colluded with the Russians, that Trump actually sat on the phone with Putin planning to hack John Podesta's emails. And when evidence of that emerged, Trump was going to be impeached. And it seems pretty clear that none of that evidence is forthcoming, that there is no evidence of collusion. Even people like James Clapper and Michael Morell, Democratic members of the intelligence community, have said so. And yet this hysteria, this kind of like orgy of just like false and hysterical and unhinged stories continues to pour forth. And the only ones they're hurting are themselves by not being responsible.
The sense that Donald Trump and his team may be hesitant to meet with Putin because of the ongoing investigation. I was concerned about that from the very beginning because I actually believe it's critical for the United States to try to find ways to improve upon a relationship that has had its real challenges, but where we do have some common interests. And in my mind, I mean, the idea of keeping this perpetually aggressive stance against Russia when we have problems with China, we have problems with Iran, we have real problems with North Korea, obviously the ISIS issue, to me it makes no sense. I mean, every president since the one I work for, Ronald Reagan, has tried to improve relationships with the the former Soviet Union and then in Russia. But now Donald Trump is I think, not pursuing that type of better relationship precisely because of the Mueller investigation and the Democrats continuing to beat this drum. That is where I think the American people lose out, because we have policy affected by an ongoing media drumbeat on this investigation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, one of the really interesting things about the election was that Trump ran as kind of an anti-militarist, anti-imperialist, which is a view that often find support on both the right and the left.
Yes.
And in Syria in particular, his argument was, we don't have any business in trying to intervene in the civil war in Syria and trying to oust Assad. If anything, we have an interest in fighting the people who are fighting Assad, since that tends to be Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Not entirely, but a large part of it. And Hillary Clinton wanted to intervene in Syria, wanted to remove Assad, or at least engage in more aggressive action there. And now I think because of this pressure on Trump to prove that he's not Putin's puppet, we've come close to direct military confrontation in Syria, the exact opposite of what Trump said he wanted to do. And, Russia is a real country. They have a big stockpile of nuclear weapons aimed at our cities, like we have at theirs. And there are hair trigger warning systems that can easily launch those with miscommunication or misperception, that are remnants of the Cold War. It's a really dangerous thing to ratchet up tensions between Moscow and Washington unnecessarily. You want the two sides talking. And it is true that there's this toxic climate now in Washington created by Democrats and the media, where any communication with Russia is deemed to be inherently suspicious or even unpatriotic. And that's a really volatile climate to create for two countries like that.
Right. You have a G20 summit coming up in Germany. And Vladimir Putin will be there. Obviously, Donald Trump will be there. And we would normally have something called the pull aside, where the staff of both leaders would have arranged for a separate meeting. And now, because of what we're seeing bubbling up and this constant obsession with this story, there are some like, well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you don't want a photo. You don't want a photo. Again, it's just ridiculous. I find it to be so bad for the country. And if I were Trump, I'd say, no, absolutely, I'm meeting with him, because I haven't done anything wrong. And I maintain that it's really important for us to have better relationships with all countries, if we can. I mean, don't we want to have better relationships with world powers? We certainly seem to be fawning all over China every chance we get.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly think so. And it's funny, when Obama ran against Hillary Clinton in the 2008 Democratic primary, she attacked him because he once said that he would be willing to meet with world leaders of any kind with whom the U.S. has tensions, because he thinks it's better to talk than it is to have conflict and go to war if that can be avoided. And, you know, of course, in 2012, when Mitt Romney said Russia is the great geopolitical threat that the United States faces, Obama and the Democrats mocked him and said, you know, you're stuck in the Cold War and you need to move into the 21st century, where the U.S. and Russia actually cooperate on all sorts of critical interests around the world. And now suddenly, because there was political benefit in 2016, the Democrats tried to turn any attempt to have any relationship with Russia into some kind of evidence of treason. And as you probably know, and as I certainly know, even questioning any of these stories about, you know, the Kremlin and Putin and Trump subjects you to claims that you're a Kremlin sympathizer or a Russian agent. The environment that has been created is really poisonous. And, you know, any rational person should want the U.S. and Russia finding common ground and not gratuitously fighting with one another because Trump is afraid of this Putin puppet storyline that has been, and, you know, that has done real damage on him.
Well, I think we've seen Russia and China have had joint military exercises together. The Chinese are very smart in stepping into vacuums. They're even trying to get more of a foothold in a place like Mexico, where, you know, we need to see more progress with our relationship with Mexico. So regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, I think after this interview with Glenn, we want a vigorous press. We want a press who holds both parties and elected officials accountable. Absolutely. We want our elected leaders to be held accountable for their actions. Absolutely. But we also want to have better relationships with countries where possible. And it's obviously possible with Russia. I mean, it's of course we can have a better relationship. It can't get much worse, frankly, than it is right now. Well, it can if we actually have a war with Russia, which is brings me to my next question, Glenn. The Nikki Haley isn't more of a neoconservative. Donald Trump is more of a nationalist conservative. However, Nikki Haley voiced the administration's concern about potential preparation for another chemical attack in Syria. I'm not sure I believe much that's coming out of this intel community or that's being leaked, but that seemed very odd to me, that public pronouncement about Syria and, you know, basically you better watch out.
It's really fascinating because the worst political mistake of this generation, in my view at least, which was the war in Iraq, that destabilized the region, that led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, that gave rise to the vacuum that now is the breeding ground for ISIS, was generated by false intelligence community claims about the nature of the Iraqi weapons program. Now, whether you believe it was deliberate manipulation or just good faith mistake or whatever, there's no question they got that wrong. They've gotten so many other things wrong over the years, either through deliberate deceit or just human error. And there's all kinds of authorities, journalistic institutions and arms control agencies and credible sources that have repeatedly questioned these claims about Assad and the use of chemical weapons. So, you know, until there's evidence presented, which is the same thing I think about all of these claims regarding Russia and collusion and hacking, until there's actual evidence presented that's persuasive and convincing, I don't think we ought to be assuming that these whispering campaigns are true. And there clearly is a division within the Republican Party, like there is in the Democratic Party, about what the proper role of the United States is in the world. Should we be the world's policemen? Should we be intervening in other countries where there's no direct vital interest at stake, U.S. interest at stake? And Nikki Haley is sort of in bed with the neocons and the Republican Party and the establishment Democrats who believe in the constant projection of force around the world at the expense of American citizens. War, exactly.
It's war party.
It's having nothing to do with defending our country.
Well, and it's not
it is the war party. It's amazing. And
It's not why he was elected. I mean, he was elected for a focus on America, the home front, infrastructure, jobs, economic renewal, rule of law to protect people of all backgrounds, races, religions, creeds. And this is the interventionism is not what drove people to the polls. They don't want this. They didn't want it when Obama was thinking about going into Syria. But the neoconservatives always wanted it. Glenn, it's fascinating to talk to you. We really appreciate your joining us. Co-founding editor of The Intercept, of course, author of four New York Times, huge bestsellers, including No Place to Hide. Glenn, thanks so much. We'll take a break. Close out this hour. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.